ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भागवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, entitled The Activities of the Prachetas, text number 28.
Etavat
tvam hi vibhubhir bhavyam dineshu vatsalai yad anusmaryate kale sva buddhya bhadra. Randana, etavatvam hi vibhubhir, etavatvam hi vibhubhir, bhavyam dineshu vatsalai, bhavyam dineshu vatsalai, yadanusmayate kale, yadanusmayate kale, svabuddhya badrarandana, svabuddhya badrarandana, etavattvam hi vibhubhir, bhavyam dineshu vatsalai, yadanusmayate kale, svabuddhya badrarandana, itavat, thus, tvam, your lordship, he, certainly, vibhubhihi, by expansions, bhavyam, to be conceived, dineshu, unto the humble devotees, vatsalaihi, compassionate, yat, which, anusmaryate, is always remembered. Kale, in due course of time. Svabuddhya, by one's devotional service. Abhadrarandana, O killer of all inauspiciousness. Translation. Dear Lord, you are the killer of all inauspicious things. You are compassionate upon your poor devotees through the expansion of your archa-vigraha. You should certainly think of us as your eternal servants. Responsibly, please repeat. Dear Lord, you are the killer of all inauspicious things. You are compassionate upon your poor devotees through the expansion of your Archa Vigraha. You should certainly think of us as your eternal servants. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The form of the Lord known as Archa Vigraha is an expansion of His unlimited potencies. When the Lord is gradually satisfied with the service of a devotee, in due course of time He accepts the devotee as one of His many unalloyed servants. By nature, the Lord is very compassionate. Therefore, the service of neophyte devotees is accepted by the Lord. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakta prayachati tadaham bhakti paritam ashnami prayatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. The devotee offers eatables in the form of vegetables, fruits, leaves, and water to the Archa Vigraha. The Lord, being Bhaktavatsala, compassionate upon His devotees, accepts these offerings. Atheists may think that the devotees are engaged in idol worship, but the fact is different. Janardana, the Supreme Lord, accepts bhava, or the attitude of service. The neophyte devotee engaged in the worship of the Lord may not understand the value of such worship, but the Supreme Lord, being Bhaktavatsala, accepts His devotee and in due course of time takes him home. In this connection, there is a short story about a brahmana who was offering sweet rice to the Lord within his mind. The brahmana had no money nor any means of worshiping the deity, but within his mind he arranged everything nicely. He had gold pots to bring water from the sacred rivers to wash the deity, and he offered the deity very sumptuous food, including sweet rice. Once, before he offered the sweet rice, he thought that it was too hot, and he thought, "Oh, let me test it. My, it is very hot." When he put his finger in the sweet rice to test it, his finger was burned and his meditation broken. Although he was offering food to the Lord within his mind, the Lord accepted it nonetheless. Consequently, the Lord in Vaikuntha immediately sent a chariot to bring the brahmana back home, back to Godhead. Thus, it is the duty of every sincere devotee to accept the Archa Vigraha at home or in the temple and worship the form of the Lord as advised in authorized scriptures and directed by the spiritual master. Etavatvam hi vibhubir bhavyam dineshu vatsalai yadanusmaryate kale svabuddhya badrarandana. Dear Lord, you are the killer of all inauspicious things. You are compassionate upon your poor devotees through the expansion of your Archa Vigraha. You should certainly think of us as your eternal servants. We were discussing yesterday how the process of Krishna consciousness is the topmost process to free the conditioned soul from the cycle of birth and death. Every religion is a process, every bona fide religion, delivered by the Lord according to time and place and circumstance with the same purpose, to deliver the conditioned souls, or at least to help them make progress on the path back to home, back to Godhead. As we know, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, Kriteya dhyayato vishnum tretiyam yajato makai dwaparo parichaya dhyam kalo tad hari kirtanat. In Satya Yuga, the process for realizing God was recommended as meditation, dhyan, Krita Yuga, Satya Yuga. People lived a very long time. They were mostly in the mode of goodness. They could practice very austere meditation. Today's so-called meditation, where you find boys and girls sitting together, drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes, and then sitting down for some hatha yoga, that is not meditation, it is simply imitation. Vishwamitra sat in samadhi for 60,000 years, but when Lord Indra was disturbed by his austerity or became envious of his austerity, he sent the heavenly prostitute Menaka to break his meditation. He was worried that this sadhu, this sage, would become very powerful by such austerities, and then he might try to take my position as king of the heavens. Indra gets worried like that very often, or relatively often. He lives a long time. So Vishwamitra simply heard the ankle bells of Menaka. He was sitting in yogic posture. He was in samadhi, eyes half closed, half open. But he simply heard the ankle bells of Menaka, and his meditation was broken. So what to speak of today? There is obviously no chance of performing such type of meditation in this Kali Yuga. There are thousands and thousands of menkas walking in the street jingling their bells. How will you practice meditation? It is simply imitation. Therefore, in Treta Yuga, the next age, as time reduced the principles of religion, cleanliness, truthfulness, austerity, and mercy, as they diminished, yajna, tretiyam yajato makai, yajna, or very opulent worship of the Lord by fire sacrifice. Thousands and thousands of kilos of ghee, pure ghee and pure grains, no adulterated grains, with brahmanas chanting mantras so expertly that they could start the fire itself by mantra. They didn't need gas lighters and matches and such things, but by sound, they could start the fire, and by their chanting and by different mantras to propitiate the demigods, would actually come to take part in the fire sacrifice. That also today is not possible. You don't get thousands of tons of pure ghee. You can only import 10 kilos or 50 kilos or something, without a big tax, but to speak of grains and other things, how would we do fire sacrifice here? And, of course, there are no brahmanas as such. Only these pan-chewing, bidi-smoking, two-paisa, thread, Brahmanas. Or you find the Brahmanas engaged in government service or business or acting as managers for big industrial houses. This goes on in India. You see all of the so-called Brahmanas. When I first went to Calcutta, I was taking a rickshaw ride, a cycle rickshaw. Not actually cycle rickshaw. In Calcutta, they have more like these Chinese rickshaws. They have an actual human pulling the cart. No bicycle. Have you ever seen the rickshaw? So he was pulling the rickshaw, and after giving me a ride, he let me down, and I was taking out my money to pay him. And he said, "Oh, I am Brahmana." And he took out his sacred thread and showed me his Yajna Pavitra. Sure. Sure you are. Maybe by birth, but the business of a Brahmana is not to pull a rickshaw. The business of a Brahmana is to study scripture, patan patan, to teach others scripture, yajan yajan, to engage in worshiping the deity himself and to train others how to worship. Yajan, yajan. And dana pratigyaha. These are the six activities of a brahmana. To receive charity and give in charity. So in this age, yajna is not possible. Dwaparo paricharyadyam. In Dwapar Yuga, temple worship. Very opulent temple worship. Srila Prabhupada once told us that when he was first introducing deity worship in America, he said, "If I told you all the rules and regulations, you would faint." So, we actually are not qualified to perform deity worship in this age. It is very, very difficult. But, nevertheless, Kali Yuga means Kalotadhari Kirtanat. Our main method of worship is chanting. But we also require deity worship. There is Bhagavat, Vidhi, and Pancharatriki, Vidhi. Vidhi means the rules of. Just like we know there are development. When one spontaneously within the heart worships the Lord, there's no need for a temple commander. There's no need for, you know, so many rules and regulations. But in the neophyte stage in which we are all situated, we require vaidhi or sadhana to fix us in devotional service. Otherwise, our tendency is to be unregulated, to be unclean. We are described as manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya. In this age, we are very short in duration of life, very short in memory, very much troubled by bad karma, irregular. People live in Kali Yuga, as we were discussing, a maximum of 50, 60, 70 years, maybe 100 years, not more. One of the main reasons is that we have a very irregular life. We eat all abominable things at the most irregular times of day, all day long. Even the devotees are not very educated about what to eat. Not that that's our goal, spending all our time becoming Ayurvedic doctors. You have to die. The most important thing is to spend your time in Krishna consciousness. But if we had better eating habits, we would probably live. See, Naveen Krishna is going to give you what is it? 360? How many more days? 10 days a year? By management principles, he's giving us, 45 more days a year? Okay. So 45 days a year he's giving us by management, by planning. So by eating also, if we planned our eating, it's one of the things we have to manage, we could actually get more time, we could live longer. Very simple things, like how often do I see devotees eating fruits and vegetables together in the same meal? That's not a good idea. Or how many times do we eat a big plate of prasadam and then afterwards have a big scoop of ice cream, wash it down with freezing cold ice cream so that the fire of digestion is immediately put out and our body has to work 5 times as hard to digest the food? We make so many mistakes. And probably as you get older, you'll learn to, out of necessity, learn to be a little more strict. But the point is that in this age, we're very unregulated, and therefore we require deity worship. It is an absolute must, an essential to be successful in spiritual life. Of course, that deity worship may be very simple. Just like here, you are worshiping a picture of Panchatattva. So, it is not very opulent. I don't think that you're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on your worship. It's simple. But it's sufficient. Although it is simple, but it is sufficient. If we worship the Lord in this way, with the holy name and nice prasadam, there are 4 principles in deity worship. Punctuality, cleanliness, offering nice prasadam, and lastly, doing something special for Krishna. These 4 principles I learned when I was being trained as a pujari in 1970. I became, along with 2 other devotees, the first male pujaris in ISKCON up to that time. Before that, mostly in the temples, there were ladies doing the puja, especially in Los Angeles, where Prabhupada wanted to set the standard for deity worship. So there was one devotee, Shilavati Devi Dasi, and she was the abode of all instructions from Srila Prabhupada on deity worship. So we were trained there, and we learned these 4 principles, essential things. But apart from that, our main business is missionary work, preaching, going out, reaching out to the public, and giving them Srila Prabhupada's philosophy in the form of his books, etc. Ultimately, a pure devotee of the Lord, an advanced devotee of the Lord, he is able to see Krishna everywhere. Stavara jangama deke na deke tar mutti sarvatra hoy nija ishta deva spurti. Whether moving or unmoving, stavara jangama, any object or any person or anything, a very advanced devotee doesn't exactly see the form. Nadeke tar murti. Murti means the form. So he doesn't exactly see the form, but rather he sees Krishna. Or more specifically, more explicitly, he sees that everything belongs to Krishna. The advanced devotee is advanced in knowledge. His vision is Shastra Chakshus. He sees through the eye of scripture. Samitpani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. He has understood the conclusion of scripture and he sees everything as the energy of the Lord. He sees that everything belongs to the Lord and everything reminds him of Krishna. He sees that this is Krishna's video machine. It is Krishna's temple. It is Krishna's microphone. He sees Krishna within everything. Krishna is the proprietor of everything. And therefore, he is not seeing things independently. He sees everything. He sees Krishna everywhere. This is also explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sarva Bhutaniya Pashyed Bhagavad Bhavam Atmana Bhutani Bhagavatyatmani Esha Bhagavatotama. This is the Mahabhagavat. That's his vision. That he sees the Supreme Lord everywhere. This is also explained in the Isha Upanishad. In the 6th and 7th verses, the vision of a pure devotee. So for such an advanced soul, deity worship is not necessary, but we saw in the personality of Srila Prabhupada that he stressed deity worship and he himself followed all the rules and regulations of deity worship and he trained us in that way. So if we want to become successful in whatever we are doing in devotional service, deity worship should be the center of our lives. Now, I understand that you want to bring Lord Krishna in his archa form to Ljubljana. You have ordered deities, you have ordered Singhasan or whatever, and perhaps very soon you will have nice deities to worship and to serve, and that's very nice. But one thing that we have to learn, and that is that when you start to worship the deity, the quality of your worship will depend upon your consciousness. Just like here in the purport, Prabhupada quotes, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhakta Prayachati. Krishna accepts any small humble offering by his devotee that is offered in love. The key is Yome Bhakta Prayachati. That is offered by my devotee in love. I accept it. He will not accept very opulent offerings that have no sincere feeling behind them. Because he doesn't need anything. He is Atmarama. He's fully self-satisfied. He is served constantly by hundreds and millions of goddesses of fortune in Goloka Vrindavan. Chintamani prakara shadmasu kalpa vriksha lakshabrateshu lakshmi sahasra shata sambrama sevyamanam. They are engaged in seva, seva puja. They're offering Krishna, constantly offering him so many things in devotional service. Goddesses of fortune, lakshmis. So what can we offer to Krishna? Nothing of substance. The only thing we can offer is some arpana. We can offer our very selves. Even that is insignificant. But at least we can try. Just like a child receives an allowance from his parents. The child spends that allowance on bubble gum and baseball cards and all kinds of wonderful, silly things. And then one day it's his father's birthday, and for 3 weeks he saves up his allowance. He doesn't chew any bubble gum. He doesn't go to any cinemas. And for 3 weeks he saves up that money, and then he buys his father a green tie with pink and yellow polka dots. And on his birthday, on the father's birthday, he comes and gives it to him. Now the father doesn't need more ties. He has a whole closet, about 75 neckties. Because that's his, all his relatives give him neckties. So he's got 75 neckties. He doesn't need another one. And especially he doesn't need a green one with pink and yellow polka dots. But when his little son, his pride and joy, his creation, comes to him and says, "Daddy, happy birthday." "Oh, thank you, son." It's offered to the father with his own money. The allowance was given by the father. But when the son gives out of devotion, having performed some sacrifice, the father is very pleased. So Krishna is pleased when we make an effort to sacrifice our own comfort, when we use our money to serve him. Yad karoshi, all that you do, and the fruits, anashrita karma phalam, the karma phal, the fruit of our work. When we give it up, anashritaha, anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karotiya, sasanyasi cha yogi cha nanniragnina chakriya. This is the real sannyasi, the real yogi, someone who uses the fruits of his work for serving Krishna. So when we use the fruits of our work for serving the deity, then the Lord accepts that service. And he's so kind, he's given us this process. Otherwise, if we didn't have this process, we would not know what to do. Just like so many people profess to be serving God. So many religious people say that they are serving God, but they have no idea how to serve God. If you ask them, "Where is God?" they will simply say that he is in the sky. He's in the clouds. But there are so many birds flying in the sky also. So that is not God. We know who is God. We know where is God. What is his address? We have his telephone number. We chant, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama." And Krishna answers, "Hello, who's this?" So if we take up deity worship, our advancement will be proportionate to the quality of our service. Not the quantity, but the quality. And the very first business is our sadhana. The most important time of the day is Brahma Muhurta. And I wanted to conclude today's class with a little bit of Oshadi, or Oshadi means medicine. It's going to be bitter medicine, or it's going to be, I'm going to give a little sauce. It's going to be hot sauce. In other words, we have to get serious about something here, and I wouldn't be stressing this if I wasn't seeing a need for it. believe me. You're all very young in devotional service, very enthusiastic. Old men like myself and Nisringananda. We get very enlivened by seeing your life. We become very enlivened. Your enthusiasm for chanting and dancing. But you must remember, above all things, that the first instruction of the spiritual master, before we do any kind of service, Srila Prabhupada said that preaching, I think that devotee there is trying to hold up the wall. I don't think it'll fall. You can, it's okay. He said that preaching is our most important service. Going out and preaching is very important. Distributing my books is very important. He said, but there's one service higher, and that is to save yourself first. So we will save ourselves by becoming regulated strictly in the morning program. There's no excuse. I've heard all the excuses in 25, 26 years. I've heard every excuse under the sun. I'm going to have a contest soon to see if someone can come up with some excuses I haven't heard and reward a night, you know, a trip around the world or something. But I think I've heard all the excuses, and I don't find one reason. There's a difference between excuses and reasons. I haven't heard one reason yet, legitimate reason, why someone can't attend the morning program. He may be sick, but unless he spends 24 hours a day in bed, he gets up sometime. Oh, Prabhu, I can't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, what's so bad about 4 o'clock in the morning as compared with 10 o'clock in the morning? What's so different about it? The sun is not in the sky as high, but that's not a real reason. If you can get up in the morning, then you should adjust your day in such a way that you can come to Mangal Arati. It's as plain and simple as that. And what it means is, if you're not coming, what it means is you don't believe in the deity. It's just a stone. It's just some picture that doesn't really mean anything. The Lord's not really there. Because if God were here and he were waking up in the morning and giving darshan, you would be there. If Krishna descended from Goloka Vrindavan as he did 5,000 years ago, and he and Radharani were dancing here in the temple room, you'd all be here at 3:45, right? Waiting for him to appear at 4 o'clock or 4:30 or whatever it is. But because we have no faith, we take things cheaply, therefore we run the risk of not attending Mangal Arati or coming to the morning program, Prabhupada said. And I'm going to read you some things that Srila Prabhupada said. I'm not going to read them all because we wouldn't, you know, get through until 10 o'clock or something, but I'll read a few things. These are some letters to none other than his leaders. You must see that they strictly follow the regulative principles, the four prohibitions, as well as the devotional practices of arising early, taking morning bath, putting on tilak, attending Mangal Arati, chanting japa 16 rounds, and attending Srimad Bhagavatam class. This is the duty of all my initiated disciples, whether they are big or they are small. So how many of you are big disciples? 6'2", okay. How many are small? Okay, but nobody is excluded. Everybody must come. Grand disciple, disciple, doesn't matter. Everyone must rise early, take bath, attend Mangal Arati, chant at least 16 good rounds, attend class, and follow the four regulative principles. So we should have 16 good rounds. There may be jibber japa. Anyway, Satsarup Maharaj has written a book about different kinds of japa. Jibber japa, or what's another kind of japa? Prajapa. Prajapa means Hare Krishna, Krishna. Oh, Prabhu, have you heard about, such and such movie playing in town? Hare Krishna, Krishna. Oh, you know, in that way you mix up prajalpa with japa. That's called prajapa. Yes. The Adventures of Bhakta Burfi. Is that an ITV video? Oh, they made it. Japa. Dive Bomber Japa. What's radar japa? So apart from all these kinds of japa, we want 16 good rounds, and Brahma Muhurta is the best time. It's the only time. At least 8-10 good rounds during that period, if you can't do 16. If these things are lax, then there is no question of spiritual life. Got that? I'll read it again because we might not have heard it. It didn't sink in. If these things are lax, and that's not just in Los Angeles, LAX, but it's all over the world. Los Angeles. Anyway. Yeah. LA alumni. I know. The earthquake came to Mangal Arati at 4:31. That's good. Yeah. That was respectful. Then there is no question of spiritual life. Anyone who does not accept these things staunchly will have to fall down. Okay, I'll read it again because you might not have understood it. If these things are lax, then there is no question of spiritual life. Anyone who does not accept these things staunchly will have to fall down. You must teach them by your own personal example. Otherwise, how will they learn? Now, falling down may include a period of remaining in a dhoti or in a position as a devotee. One can be a devotee also without chanting 16 rounds. But not a very high quality devotee. Falling down means Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said anyone who does not chant 64 rounds is asara, useless. So Prabhupada allowed us, by his great mercy, he gave us only 16 rounds. But we have to follow that. And if we don't follow the order of the spiritual master, then that's a fall down. So, it's not that hard. It really isn't. I am requesting again and again that all of my disciples simply follow all of the rules and regulations very strictly. Rising early, chanting 16 rounds, attending Mangal Arati in class, etc. All are essential for spiritual development. Please institute these most important points of attending Mangal Arati and chanting 16 rounds. These are the most important points of Krishna consciousness process. Everyone should join the Mangal Arati. Gradually, we should become more regulated and strict for following the rules and regulations. Otherwise, we shall fall down. And never neglect to chant your 16 rounds of beads daily. Rise without fail, attend Mangal Arati, take bath, and follow the other regulative principles. And everything will come out very successfully. You can rest assured of that. Yes, reading my books will help you. Philosophy must be there. But if you do not also apply the philosophy by participating in all temple affairs like rising early, attending Mangal Arati, performing devotional service, then simply learning the philosophy will have no effect. So the future of this Krishna consciousness movement is very bright, so long the managers remain vigilant that 16 rounds are being chanted by everyone without fail, that they are all rising before 4 in the morning, attending Mangal Arati. Our leaders shall be careful not to kill the spirit of enthusiastic service, which is individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. And if you simply keep to our standard program, that means chanting daily 16 rounds, rising early, attending Mangal Arati, like that, if this program is strictly maintained amongst all the devotees, they will remain pure. And if preaching is pure, automatically leaders, managers, funds, everything will be given profusely by Krishna without any doubt. We're having a fundraising seminar, a management seminar. Some of the leaders are attending from the different temples around Slovenia and from Croatia. We've told them frankly, we have nothing to teach you. None of the processes and techniques and strategies will be very valuable to you unless you have strong sadhana. You cannot manage a spiritual organization by mundane methods unless you are strict in your devotional practices. Therefore, Rupa Goswami has introduced this system of regulative principles which I have taught to you also. These regulative principles, such as rising before 4 a.m. for Mangal Arati, chanting 16 rounds minimum on bead daily, reading books, going for street sankirtan, preaching to anyone and everyone, offering the prasadam like that, these principles of devotional service are there to safeguard us from Maya's attack by keeping us always enthusiastic. Prabhupada describes the principles as prasadam adigachati. This is in Bhagavad Gita. It's prasadam. These rules and regulations given to us by the spiritual master, the idea of rising early, it's good for us. It's healthy. Taking a cold shower is very, very good for you. Hot water will simply make your nerves weak, your mind weak, and you become easily addicted to sense gratification. We're not forcing you. If you want to take hot shower, we're not forcing. But you should know the principle that cold shower is healthy. It's good for you in every way, spiritually, even materially. People are now finding out the same principle. And similarly, rising early in the morning. I don't know about here, but I know in America, the forefathers, the early settlers in America who made it a great country, so to speak, at least a wealthy country they made it, and at one time it was a religious country, they were very clear, early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and Krishna conscious. So that's our philosophy. Will protect us from Maya's attack. So the onus, the responsibility is there with you to adjust your day. If you have to take rest at 3:30 in the afternoon so you can get up at 4 in the morning, you know, do it. You know, get 14 hours sleep. I don't care. But somehow or other, Mangala Arati, everybody should be there. And you won't regret it. You'll be happy for it. The main thing is that you must set nice example for the others by following very rigidly the regulative principles such as chanting 16 rounds on beads, reading the books, getting up to attend Mangala Arati, etc. In this way, everyone will be encouraged. We must be so careful to train the devotees nicely. So all the residents of the ashram, we should know that newer and newer people are coming. And whatever standard we have, they'll come and they'll understand that this is the normal thing. And if we have a low standard, those new people will understand this is the normal thing and they'll probably go a little lower. And in that way, before long, you know, we'll meet at 9 o'clock for prasadam and that'll be the morning program. I'm serious. It goes like that. Morning program is important. And the leaders should take it very seriously. Everyone should attend Mangala Arati and chant 16 rounds daily. It's another letter. As soon as one discontinues his staunch following of the regulative principles such as no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, rising early before 4, coming to Mangala Arati, chanting at least 16 rounds, etc., then his spiritual life is hampered. And there is a chance that at any time he may become a victim of Maya. That is of the utmost importance. Do not fail to chant 16 rounds daily, rise early, come to Mangala Arati, come to classes, and follow the 4 regulative principles. In this way, your life will become free from all anxieties. By simply following this process without deviation, chanting 16 rounds, following the 4 regulative principles, attending classes in Mangala Arati, rising early, these things will gradually bring you to the platform of pure love of Krishna. These are the means by which we'll come to pure love of Krishna. And if we don't follow them, then how we are going to find, how we're going to come to pure love of Krishna if you don't embrace these things? Keep yourself pure and fixed up by following the basic principles that I have given. Chanting 16 rounds daily, following the 4 regulative principles, rising early, attending Mangala Arati in classes. This is of the utmost importance. I am glad to hear that in your temple no one misses Mangala Arati and that everyone is becoming steady and peaceful in their service. Life will flourish. Rise early, attend Mangala Arati in class, chant 16 rounds and follow the 4 regulative principles without deviation. This will guarantee your spiritual perfection. Rise early, attend Mangala Arati, attend class, chant 16 rounds, and follow the 4 basic rules and regulations. This is most important. Without these things, there is no spiritual life. If you try sincerely, then Krishna will give you all blessings. Last quote. There's so many more. I could go on and on, but all men who live in the devotee rooms must attend Mangala Arati or starve. Means if you miss Mangala Arati, then no prasadam. So if we're going to engage in deity worship properly so that it won't be idol worship, we have to treat the deity as the Lord. Krishna is not in his name. Krishna is his name. Krishna is not in the deity. Krishna is the deity. Krishna is here. That is the mood, the ideal mood that we must have. And that means at 4:30 in the morning, Krishna, in the deity doors are open. We definitely must be there on time. There's no question of becoming a member of Krishna's fan club either. I see many people have joined Krishna's fan club. You know, just like TK and his band, they have their fan club. And There are those devotees who, just at the time of the fan, they arrive for Mangalarti. They come in well. No, you should be on time for Mangalarti as far as possible at the beginning. The Lions Club. We don't patronize the Lions Club or the Rotary Club or any of these. We're there for the conch shell, the beginning, for the... Yeah, I know. So are there any questions or comments? Yes, sir. Okay. Before I let everybody go. Yeah. Sure. In fact, Prabhupada told many devotees, I know he told me, that I should send him a monthly report of the temple activities. And I definitely, in order to strengthen our determination and to get a complete picture of how we're making progress, it's good to write things down. It's not, again, social pressure can help us a little bit. Sometimes it can be disturbing. And I've said this, I feel it, that Krishna consciousness is not a competition in one sense. You make advancement at your own rate, and I make advancement at my rate. I can't force you, and you can't force me. And you may be my friend, and you may not advance very quickly, but I'm not envious of you. Devotees should be friendly to all living beings, what to speak of other Vaishnavas. Anyone who's trying to become a Vaishnava, trying to follow the principles, he's a wonderful person. He's the best person in the whole universe. And we're lucky to have his association, and we can learn from him. He may not be expert, but we don't need to follow his imperfection. We know the standard. Prabhupada has given us the standard. But at the same time, a devotee of the Lord will sometimes, or at least he prays, a devotee of the Lord prays, Krishna, please put me in a situation where I'll be forced to surrender to you. On my own, I'm a little weak, but I'm praying to you, please make some arrangement that I will be pushed into surrender. So social pressure, a feeling of guilt, it's not bad when it brings us to a higher consciousness. If it simply makes us, withdrawn, or it interferes with our devotional service, that's not good. But normally it shouldn't. We should feel guilty about lusting after women. We should feel guilty about missing Mangalarti. We've made a promise to the spiritual master that we would follow. We should feel guilty if we miss our rounds, and we should be determined that I missed my rounds yesterday, and I feel guilty, and I'll make them up today. Or I'll perform, I missed Mangalarti, or even, sometimes devotees have problems with illicit sex or whatever, ever. And they should feel very guilty about those types of things. And resolve to, if you fall down 1,000 times, then you should get up 1,000 times and rise above the modes of ignorance and passion. Come to the platform of pure goodness, pure devotional service. We have to be very strong in that. So any system that can help us is good. And many temples, I remember when I was president in Bombay, we had about 250 devotees, and at least 220, 225 devotees came to Mangalarti. And we kept records. And we announce the names of devotees who were a little delinquent. And maybe that wasn't the right way. Maybe we should have announced the devotees who came, but or put a chart up of those who attended. Maybe it's better to be positive than negative. But at least we kept some record, and devotees were aware of it, and it improved. It always improved things. So that's my, you may have a different experience. You have to try different things. But as a community, we should know that we're as weak as the weakest person as a community. The atmosphere, the environment here will help us all to advance. But if the environment here is weak, it may impede our advancement. We may get depressed and discouraged. Therefore, we have to be sympathetic to those who are having difficulty and try to help them. Honestly, in love and affection, we should try to help weaker devotees to come to the standard, at least the minimum standard. So whatever technique works, we can discuss. But it's a serious thing. It's a very, very serious thing. I don't know how to express it strongly enough. If we do no preaching, more or less, we can't preach unless we have strong sadachar, unless we have good behavior. There's prachar and achar. So if you have no achar, well, of course, the best, the most common one is, well, there are two or three. One is that I'm sick in the morning, so no breakfast, no prasadam, because if you're sick, then you shouldn't eat. It's bad for you. And you know, again, if you're actually in bed 24 hours a day, then maybe you've got an excuse. But if you get up sometime, it's just a question of, you know, turning the dial in such a way that 4 o'clock is the time when you get up. Maybe you don't take a cold shower because you're sick or whatever, or weak or whatever, or, you know, whatever it is, but you should be there at 4:30 when the deity doors open. Another one is that the most powerful forms of illusion, and that is kartahamiti manyate, that I am the doer, I am the karta. Krishna says such persons are vimudha, not only donkeys, but very, very big donkeys. Vimudha. Ahankara vimudatma kartahamiti manyate. Krishna is the doer. Krishna is the manager. Radharani is the manager of all her temples. You are simply an instrument, an assistant, an insignificant participant. Insignificant, really. We're all expendable. I've seen so many big so-called managers come and go, and the movement goes on, and only God knows how. If we had to rate our management skills, although people somehow or other, it's, you know, people get in the illusion that I'm a big manager, but if they had to undergo Naveen Krishna's scathing test, you know, they would all get probably what, 0 or -1, Naveen? Huh? Or maybe, what would you give them, Naveen? Okay. So, none of us are that big that we can afford to not be there when God comes, when Krishna's there. If Prabhupada was there, you are not the doer. Ultimately, I mean, of course, if you can learn to delegate responsibility, that's very good. But if you can't manage the morning program, then there's no need to manage anything else, really. Keep your temple small, have a few sincere devotees, and have a nice pucka program. and other excuses, late night preaching. Well, late night preaching, there may be some excuse there. Only on the late night, and that also maybe once a year. I mean, once, maybe once a week. There, you know, but if you have a program, your program is that every night of the week you're out late preaching. We used to have that in ISKCON. We used to have that. We used to go out on Hari Nam all day long. And the last Hari Nam that we had was at 12 o'clock midnight in front of the musical Hair. Have you heard of this musical Hair? How many have heard of it? It plays here in Slovenia too. Oh my God. Anyway, because in the last scene of Hair, you have all these naked hippies up on stage chanting Hare Krishna. Therefore, we would go there and be there when the people, the audience, came out. And we would give them all a stick of incense and stick a conch shell in their rib and try to get money from them. And it was one of our biggest picks. So, anyway, we would get up in the morning about 6, 6:30, and Mangal Arati was at 7 o'clock. But Prabhupada, after some time, he introduced 4:30 in the morning Mangal Arati. And then he told us to stop staying out at late. And we also noticed that past about 9 or 10 o'clock, the modes of nature became so heavy that the so-called preaching at that time was almost, it wasn't very effective, because people were deeply in the modes of nature, and especially ignorance. They were intoxicated. And maybe there was some benefit, but the disadvantage of disrupting our own sadhana was far greater. So we stopped that. And he also said that you have to be like a bamboo that can be flexible. Once a week you may have a late night preaching program, but the very next day you bounce back. Then there are other examples. For example, in England, they have a very rigorous program of preaching to the Indians. And the only time they can meet the Indian life members is in the evening, after they've come home from work and taken their dinner. The devotees may go to see them and have a little kirtan or whatever it is. So they invariably don't get back to the temple till 11:30. So they have a practice that they get up in the morning for Mangal Arati, chant a few rounds, and take a little rest after Mangal Arati, and then try to attend Bhagavatam class and Guru Puja. One way or the other, they get the essentials of the morning program in, and then later on in the morning they have extra classes. But they don't miss the essential thing. But ultimately, there's no excuse like late night preaching and then sleeping in and then, you know, jibber japa and prajapa and radar japa and no Bhagavatam class, no association. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam that it is better to discuss the Bhagavatam in association of devotees than to just read it yourself. So if you're reading it yourself and you happen to come across this passage, then, you know, you should realize that you need Bhagavatam class where we can discuss it together.
That's right. A friend of mine, we were initiated together, and he was the president of San Diego Temple. Well, actually, at that time, he was in Los Angeles. And he was a very hard worker, so he was working all day long. And he went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I'm working so hard all day long, I don't have time to chant my rounds. So Prabhupada said, sleep less. So then this devotee said, but Prabhupada, I'm only chanting 4 rounds. I mean, I'm only sleeping 4 hours. So, you know, he expected Prabhupada to say, well, okay, do less service. And Prabhupada said, okay, sleep 2 hours. Both are important, your service. There's another instance. I mean, you know, I can say various things, and I don't want to change you up too much, but preaching is important. Sridhar, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj tells a story of how he used to preach or used to think. He told Bhakti Siddhanta one time, that I don't think we should sacrifice our regulative principles for preaching. And Bhakti Siddhanta was purported to have said, yes, I thought like that 10,000 years ago. And then Srila Prabhupada also said that Arjuna did not win the battle of Kurukshetra by chanting japa. So service is important. But this morning I've asked you to meditate on all these letters, and there's more than this. I've got 3 pages, which you can post on your bulletin board and meditate on them. There are many temples that I go to. I put these up on the bulletin board, and within 1 or 2 hours, somebody tears them down. Yeah. Somebody doesn't like to see these things. But it's there. It's the plain truth. So, service is important. Preaching is important. But this is really the foundation. If you don't have a foundation, your building will crumble. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.